Okay, page Samach Dal, Halach Yidal Shavish, and now this is a very long section. He discusses the concept of Ahavas Hashem. We learned about Yiras Hashem, we learned about Musar, we learned about the meaning of a Chosid, many, many different topics. Now he's going to discuss for a very long period of time the sugya of what does it mean to love Hashem. Halach Yidal Shavish, Ahavas Hashem, Ahavas Hashem. This principle that we recite in Kriya Shema every single day, twice a day. Sivanu Bareinu La'avodoi B'yira. Hashem commanded us to serve Him with fear. Now he seems to contradict himself. And he says, basically what he's saying over here is the principle of what's called the Gilu Bira Ada. Okay, that is a pasuk. It's a pasuk somewhere in Tanakh. I don't know where it is. The Gila means you shall rejoice with trepidation. Love, there's no such thing as pure love. Pure love has to be fenced in, has to be tempered with a dosage of fear. The classic example that's given is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had a child, Yishmael. Avraham Avinu's nida was Ahava. Chesed, when a person does kindness, kindness always comes from a feeling of love. I love you, therefore I want to be good to you. I want to bestow upon you kindness. When there is too much love and there is no discipline, there is no musar, that can lead to a Yishmael. Yishmael rarely represents love. It represents pure love, the excess of love. When there's too much love, and it's not tempered by discipline, that love can make a person crazy, as we see when we came up Yishmael. V'chuye pera adam, it goes to an extreme, and when you don't get the desire of your love, then it can lead to bloodshed.
I thought you had taken the example of Nadav
Avihu. There was too much love. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I don't know.
What's the question?
Nodav Avihu, they went on the Fnai Velefim to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they did what Hashem did not command them to do because they were overwhelmed by their love for Hashem. Their love for Hashem pushed them into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in a place where they did not belong to bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu a sacrifice. Rabbi Sai, can we have a little bit more, please? Rabbi Sai, it's very, very disturbing. Okay. So when it comes, there are. Nadav Avihu is saying very good. They had too much love. The fact that they loved Hashem so much brought them into the place they did not belong to bring Kodesh Baruch Hu, a carbon that they were not permitted to bring, and that brought about their death. You're right, Enochanami, there has to be this degree of Yira. V'gilu Bira Ada. You rejoice in HaKadosh Baruch Hu with trepidation. Some say that's the reason why the minig is to shuckle. When you daven, why do you shuckle? Why do you go back and forth? When you go up, going up represents an expression of love. You love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you go up. You bring yourself higher. But then you realize, wait a minute, just because I love Hashem so much, I want to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do I deserve to be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. I don't deserve to be there. I should fear Hashem. So you go back down, and then you love Hashem, so you move up. But then you recognize, I have to know my place, so you go back down. This is explained to me, the simple reason why the minig is to shuckle. It's not just that we're nervous people, and we shuckle. Shuckling is an expression of the Gilu Bira Ada. To rejoice in Hashem with trepidation. The movement up is the joy of coming close to Hashem. The Ra'ada is the movement down. The Gilu Bira'ada. It's very common. I remember we went to a doctor with someone who was very, very sick in the hospital, and the Talmidim came to Davin for their Rebbe when he was undergoing surgery. So there's a whole collection of a Talmidim in the waiting room davening. And the doctor passes by, and he's not a Jewish doctor. He never saw Orthodox Jews. And he sees all of these guys standing by the wall, shuckling. So he asked someone, why are all these guys banging their head into the wall? Okay. Yeah, so now there's also a story. There's once, this is a story.
What about the answer?
He doesn't, there's no way, he doesn't understand. And there's another very interesting story about a certain rebbe that the people in the town, they wanted to play a trick on the rebbe. I don't know, they wanted to play a trick. There was a little guy, a little child, and he was an Eloi, and they taught him a daf gemara. And they took him in with all of the kids to be tested by the rebbe. And he knew all the answers, perfect, better than everyone else. The Rebbe said when he walked out of the room, there's something about that child. There's something wrong with that child. And it was wrong. He didn't chuckle. When he gave the answer, he just didn't chuckle. There's something wrong. So even though they dressed him up, he looked the part, and he knew all the answers, not chuckling spoke volumes of who the person is. Chuckling, again, is called Gilu Bira'ada, to rejoice in Hashem with trepidation. Gilui is a form of love. The love has to be tempered with fear. And that's what he says over here in this line over here. The first line of Yidalit Sivanu Barenu Lav Avdoi Biyira. That Hashem commanded us to serve him with fear. Shetehe Avas Nafshenu Kishur B'Nafshoi B'Simcha Uvavosoi. The love should have our neshama should be tied to Hashem's neshama, whatever that means, with simcha. We shall love Hashem with a good heart. The simchas ahava kachi oza, the joy of loving Hashem is so powerful. Umiskaberes al halev, it overpowers the heart. Oyev Hashem shafilu yomim rav mishloi. Now over here, I'm not going to even translate these words. Not appropriate. Okay, now basically means that the person's love for Hashem is so powerful, even when he engages in an activity that in this world is considered to be the ultimate pleasure that one has for himself. He's saying over here that is extremely, extremely deep. When a person is engaged in an activity that is considered to be, he enjoys in its intensity. He has not done this in a very long time. So the intensity, the pleasure is very much. Even at that moment in time, that pleasure is nothing. It doesn't even make a dent, because the love that he has for Hashem is so much greater. It's so powerful. So when he has a pleasure, this pleasure is nothing relative to the pleasure that I have relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's very graphic in his description of describing how much love a person can be on such a level where his love for Hashem is so great, and the things that he does in this world which he enjoys is just meaningless. It's nothing. It's mild. It just pales in comparison to the love that he has for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means the person really loves Hashem.
Is that the example of that what Yaakov was saying?
Yaakov,
when Yosef came to Yaakov,
he was saying Kriyashma, and he did not. He's saying a very good example. He said Kriyashma, and instead of greeting his son, he was busy saying Kriyashma. Yeah, in a chanami, that's a common answer. Is that he wanted to show that the love I have for my son pales in comparison to the love I have for the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're right. It's extremely hard for us to understand that. Today, if someone would do that, they would accuse them of child abuse and being a parent that neglects his children. If you have not seen your child for 22 years and you're reunited with your child, and when you see your child, you're saying Kriya Shema, and you don't kiss your child and embrace him and hug him and cry, then there's something wrong with you. No? Isn't that the way we, in today's day and age, in the 21st century? You're crazy. You're missing screws. You can say Kriya Shema later. You say it before. Now is not. There's a time for everything. So why is the Yaakov different? Torah was given to us, to people, the average Joe, right? Torah was not given to Malachi Hashares. So what in the world is going on in that story where Yaakov Avinu is not behaving like a normal parent? In fact, most of the time in Tanakh, we look at stories that seem to be very, very simplistic, very simple, and we make out of it these very mystical things. And here it's just the opposite. Here there's no way to understand this on a superficial level. Because what are you doing? You have not seen your son for 22 years. Vayimoein lehisnachim. You refused to accept comfort over the fact that he died. 22 years you were miserable. And now finally you see your child. You're not going to acknowledge his presence. You have something better to do. You want to recite Kriya Shema. It's super bizarre. Someone I know, he went to the White House. He went that probably was about 15 years ago. He went with the OU delegation, and cell phones were then okay. They were popular. They were definitely very, very popular. Not like today, but they were very popular. They went in to see Bush W. There were about 10 people went into the Oval Office. They were sitting around the desk with Bush W. And in the meeting in the office, one of these 10 people, their cell phone began to ring. Okay, their cell phone. So Bush W. said to him, looked at him and says, "You should answer it. It might be important." So what was Bush W. telling this Chil Hashem, telling this fellow? He says, "You didn't turn off your cell phone before you came into the Oval Office. Is there something more important than meeting with the President of the United States?" Okay, Bush W. wasn't known to be a Baal Gaiv, as far as I know. But the president of the office, he represents.
They're not there for your help.
He represents the United States of America, who is the superpower of the world. You come into the Oval Office, you turn off your cell phone.
How many times you get that opportunity
to go into the Oval Office? Yeah. You're a shaita. You're a shaita for going into the Oval Office with the cell phone with the cell phone turned on and the phone rings.
Should they come? They do.
And the phone rings. He's basically making litzanis. It might be important. Is there something more important than meeting with the president? An opportunity that who has an opportunity to do so? In the United States, there are over 300 million citizens. How many of the 300 million citizens of the United States would ever merit to meet a president in general, to see a president face to face? And talk about people in the world. And it might be important. It's a real good shtech. It's a real, real good shtech. This is a true story. I know the person, and not the person whose phone it was, but the person who was sitting next to the person whose phone rang in the Oval Office. It was a delegation from the OU. A delegation from the OU went there to Washington for a week, and he was on this delegation. They met with the president. There were about 10 people in the room, and that is what happened in the room. They have security.
The OU didn't fire him?
They did not fire him. What?
He was for the love of Hashem?
Of course. Let's go further over here. So this is what it says. These are very graphic words, but it's very powerful. What he's telling us, that when a person he loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything else pales in comparison. Okay, let's go further. The simchas were three lines. Let's start from three lines from the bottom. The toikef yiras Hashem, the simchas boiroi, the cholchibas shashua, the intensity of fearing Hashem, and the joy that he has in his creator, the cholchibas, every love shashua. What does it mean, shashua? A delight. Kiyeled shashum habein yaker li Ephraim, yeled shashuim, a delightful child. The love of shashua, delight of Yeladov, kilo hayu, all of the things that of his life, things that he is afraid of, things that he loves, going back to his childhood. It's kilo hayu, as if it does not exist. Kineged relative shashua leiv, the heart ho'oyeves Hashem b'chol liboy u'v'chol nafshoy u'v'chol mo'oydoy, to a person who loves Hashem with his entire heart and soul and his wealth, B'chol hir hu rav, all of his thoughts. Ech lasois ha'ohev ha'bara yisparach, the one who loves Hashem, the entire day is occupied in thinking what he can do to better serve Hashem. V'liskois esarabim, and to be mezakeh the tzibur, in order to be married to the public. V'lasois kiddush Hashem, to sanctify Hashem's name. V'limso atzma ba'ava, to give Hashem over with love. Turn out to the next page Samachei, ha'boreit. And they give some examples. Kaasher osa Pinchas Hakohen asher moser nafshe ba'avas v'yitzro l'kanei l'shmoi. When Pinchas saw what happened, that the Nasi of Yisrael went and did an act, Zimri ben Salu did a disgraceful act with Kozbi, the daughter of Basur, the daughter of Midian, it bothered him so much that he was basically, he did something that is suicidal. He went to kill a Nasi in Klal Yisrael. Why? Because the pain he has for Hashem to witness such an act of betrayal, an act, such a grave public sin was so painful, he had no choice but to behave, to act, and to go spring into action. Another example, a person that really loves Hashem wouldn't even think of having a desire for money that does not belong to him. The person loves Hashem, I wouldn't even have a hava amina, have a thought to take money that's not honest. What did Avram Avinu say to Sodom? Imichut diat seroy chnal v'im egach mikol asher loch. V'chein be'Elisha. Likewise, Elisha loyrotzel lekachas mama min Naaman. Elisha did heal Naaman. Naaman suffered from tsaras. He went to all of the doctors in the world. No one was able to heal him. Someone said, "Why don't you go to the Navi? What do you have to lose? Go for a consultation by the Navi, Elisha." So he went. Elisha told him, dip in the Yarden 7 times. He dipped in the Yarden and he was healed. Naaman wanted to give Elisha enormous wealth and reward for healing him. And Elisha says, "I don't want your money. I'm not interested in your money. Leave me alone." Shloirotzu lokachas mamon min Naaman. V'shlo levatel divrei Torah b'shvil tanugim v'shashu yilo yilodav. A person should never be levatel. A person has a saved to an entire. A person should not give up. If he really loves Hashem, he loves what he does, then if you have a wedding, new, I can't make it all the time. Half the weddings we go to, probably we can get away without it. We can go for 5-10 minutes, all the same. The reason why we're willing to be mevatel is because we don't believe in our mission. We don't believe that what we're doing, we're learning Torah, is so important. And we don't believe that regular Torah is so important. Therefore, we mevatel. V'chibas noshav, a person is willing to mevatel because of his love for his our wives, whatever this means. The gam lezev teluyim, to go and abandon teluyim, to yoylim, go on tours, vacationing. Uriyois nashim, to see women. Uniimois mezamoyrim, to go listen to concerts. Kadesh yehei libo shalim besimchas Hashem. A person who truly loves Hashem is going to abandon all of these activities in order that he can spend time with Hashem, learning and davening. And busy himself with things which are connected directly to Hashem. But obviously, this is not for the faint of heart. This was written 800 years ago by a very holy person. Today, everyone needs recreation. Everyone needs, the world operates in a certain way for a reason. And if people go on vacations, people go to weddings, people do things, they go to concerts, it's because it's healthy to do so most of the time. Everyone needs a distraction once in a while. You need a little to let out some hot air, and you need it. People need it. So therefore, obviously, this is not to be taken literally. Each to each his own. But at least we have an appreciation of the principle that a person's love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu should surpass the love he has for Hashem should surpass the love that he has for other activities in this world, and therefore all of those things should pale in comparison. That's also very interesting. Someone explained this to me. I may have told this to you, but it made an impression upon me. Someone recently said to me, very upset about how the Haredi world views the secular world. There's a prevalent attitude to say about the secular world that it's garbage. It's garbage. Everything is garbage. The sciences are garbage. The entertainment is garbage. Everything about the secular world outside the Dalan Amos Shel Halacha is nothing. The only thing in the world is Torah. Is Torah. And that's what it's all about. So this is very dangerous. And explain to me why it's dangerous. Because in a person's mind, the understanding is Torah is better than the alternative. If the alternative is garbage, so Torah is just a little bit better than garbage. So Torah is also garbage. If you tell children, you brainwash them from day one, that the world is garbage, and we're better than the world. We're better than the world. Klal Yisrael, the Am HaNivchar, Hashem gave us the Torah in Har Sinai, and the whole world is just trash. So what are we? You don't realize that subconsciously, when you do this, a psychologist explained this to me, a very big psychologist explained this to me. When you do this from ground zero, people over here are not in this category because you've not been born in a generation that did this. But in this generation is a very big problem. We're training people from day one, from the kindergarten. The world is trash. Trash, trash, trash. Everything is pure trash. There's nothing out there that has any value other than Torah. Torah is everything. You don't realize what you're really telling them, the message that they receive is that the world is garbage and Torah is better than garbage. If you're starting out with zero, so what is Torah? Torah is just a little bit more than zero. Torah is a better quality trash. That's what you're teaching them. Torah is also garbage. It's just a little bit better garbage. The garbage can smell to a degree where it can't even stand. And then this garbage, it's garbage, but the odor doesn't affect me. And then people, they get older and they realize, you know, the world's not garbage. There's a lot out there in the world. And then, but their value of Torah is, it is garbage. That's what happens to the mind. The proper way to teach children is what the Gemara says. The world is mole chochma. The world is mole yoifi. The world is filled with opportunity, with chochma, with incredible delights, pleasures. And they're all good. But you should know Torah is even greater than that. You teach a child the world is 10 plus, and the Torah is even greater than 10 plus. That is a healthy approach to look at the world. And it's a chaval that people don't have this insight.
How do you fit this into,
so that's he's saying over here is that there are things in this world, there are tanugim, right? There are tanugim. They're going to concerts. And there is going to entertainment, and there is going to enjoy some good food. All the different things he talks about over here, all these things. There are people that say, don't waste your time on these things. Better spend your day in Beis Medrash, learning, davening. Spend your day with Hashem better than spend your day at a concert, at Great Adventures, at some type of recreation, going to a museum, or reading a good novel, or reading or doing some activity. So the answer is yes. So he says you should be aware. All he's saying over here is that Torah is better than these things. Now, we are not in a madrega. We are not on a level where we can just go. I mean, from shooting where we can just all these things we're not going to even look at. We're not going to deal with because we're only human beings and we need to have some recreation. And in fact, Chazal say for every pleasure that exists in this world that you had an opportunity to derive benefit from, and you chose to deny yourself, you will be held accountable. If Hashem sends you bracha, enjoy the bracha. But his point is, in a responsible way, you should know that bracha, all of the delight of this world is wonderful, it's delicious, it's enjoyable. But Torah is even better. Everything in this world is 10 plus, but Torah is above that. You're not knocking the world in such a fashion. And not only you're not knocking the world, you're setting up a person with a healthy outlook, a healthy perspective in how to deal with this world. So this has to be taken with a grain of salt, but it's not a contradiction. Okay, let's continue. Let's continue where we're up to. Okay, we're up to over here. 6 lines down. The olav lokachas mashal mibasa v'dama person, which should now pay attention to the following mashal proverb. Im hayodei adava shehu rotzon hamelach. If a person were to know that the king, he wants a certain thing, im hayodei adava shehu rotzon hamelach lo olam lo yiniach v'lo yishkod ad sheyishalim rotzon hamelach shehu rima v'tolei kamo. If a person knows that the king, a king of Bosar Vodam, a king that is a worm, will end up in the grave one day and rot away like all of us, like a worm. If you know that he wants something, would you not bend, and you have the power to give him what he wants, give him your vote. if you know that the king wants something, and you have the ability to satisfy your king, would you not bend backwards to satisfy a king who is only a melech basar v'dam? Because that's natural. If the king is happy, you're happy. For various, many reasons. It's a reality. V'yeh somech simcha gedolia, and you have a very great simcha, al asher bo maisa lefnei melech, that you have the ability to bring satisfaction to a melech basar v'dam. Mikol shekein, how much more so would a person derive satisfaction when he's giving nachas to the Ribbono Shel Olam? L'rotzen habarishu chai v'kayim al achas kavakama sheyesh lo l'troyach, a person should trouble himself, ulevakish ech yaseh v'yayashlem mitzvoyin ha-mitzvoyisav, a person should trouble himself to satisfy Hashem's will and his needs. Next halacha. Ho'oived me'avo oisek b'toyev v'mitzvoyis cholech b'nesivoyis ha-chochma haru'uya, a person who loves Hashem and busies himself with Torah and mitzvot, is going in the path of wisdom, haruya, the oisek b'toyev v'oivas Hashem ha'ahava gedoyla, lo mibnei dova sheba oylam, v'loi mibnei yiras hara, v'loi kidei lirash es ha'toyva, elo oive b'emes, mibnei she'akadosh baruch hu emes, v'soif ha'toyva lovoi b'chlola. He's saying over here, the idea is that a person that really loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who serves Hashem, l'shem shamayim, lo heve mishamish esarav al manas lekais. Paraphrasing what it says in Pirkei Avos, do not be a servant that serves the master al manas lekabel pros. You should serve Hashem for the sake of serving Hashem, and the mail of the reward will come by itself. It's all a matter of attitude. A person who loves Hashem should not focus on the reward. It's not a game. It's a game. You do this mitzvah, you get these points. You do this mitzvah, you get a point. I find it very disturbing sometimes. I can't speak because, you know, your children, you have to train them in a certain way. The incentives they give children today, like crazy. Not in my day, there was nothing like this. Maybe I was brought up in the wrong places. I don't know. But in my day, the incentives to be good and to do good were very, very minor. You're good because you have to be good. If you're not good, you're not good. Today, everything is a bribe. If you learn a daf, you get a dollar. You learn this daf, you chaz, you get another dollar. Everything is money, money, money. Everything is prize, prize, prize. Even in an advanced stage, even when you're in high school. Just basically, the way you get kids to learn is you give them money. The more money you give them, the more money you give, the more they're going to learn. You make a big plaque in the lobby, a big CM, 10,000 dafim will learn. How in the world do you get these kids over here and these sheep to go learn 10,000 daf altogether, to learn chaser? It's just money. All it is money. I went to a gevir, and the gevir gave me a ton of money, and I told the kids, for every daf you learn, you get this amount of money. That's it. All of a sudden, the points start coming in, and now you're making a big sim, you bring down the big Gadol Hadar, who's going to come and address the kids at the sim. I look at these kids, and I say to myself, I'm just telling you what these kids are no better than the guys in my class, the guys that I knew when we were in Yeshiva Katanu and Mesifta. When I was in Mesifta, we never had siyumim where there were 20,000 dafim learned, 10,000 dafim learned. We didn't have the Gedoli Hadar come down to our siyum and kiss everyone, hug everyone, and give everyone a handshake and give certificates. We didn't learn 10,000 dafim. And the people that I know, not all of them, some of them turned out to be very fine people. Some a little different. But by and large, they turned out just fine. And in fact, I'm willing to bet that that the statistics for my guys are better than what I see.
In my shul, on Wednesday night, they have boys under 13 coming to learn, and they pay them $5.
$5 come, for what, for an hour?
I think a little bit less. Every week, I think somebody else sponsors it, whatever. I think it's a very beautiful
thing. It's a very beautiful thing.
I think money is right.
It works.
Because that's
cash is king.
I don't think so.
That's what
money
it is.
Works.
I think it's a very beautiful thing.
It works. It brings the kids in. But you know, the kids they bring in. I was watching one of these programs where there's a lot of incentive. I was watching this by the program, and the kids, there's a lot of chutzpah. I was very horrified. The chutzpah, and the whole derech. There's no discipline. It's just like it became a business. It became a business. You come, the kids, they want something, they come, they learn. So it's good. What is the alternative? There is no alternative. In my day, what was the alternative? We stayed home at Soy Shabbos. We watched television. These kids, they don't have a television. So what are they going to do at home? Nothing. Drive their parents crazy. What are they going to do? Okay, we can't be at home. They do it at home, so we'll go out on the streets. Before you turn around, a couple of years down the line, they're going to be in a place you don't want them to be. So this is the best solution. They're not on their own going to come and learn. I wouldn't come and learn. You give me, when I was a kid, I wouldn't come at such Shabbos and learn. No way. I'm not interested. So what am I going to do? I'm going to watch television at home. They don't have a television. For good reason they don't have a television, because you can't have a television anymore today. Okay, so you can't. Internet. So what are they going to do? They're going to go meshuggah. So get them into the shul to come and learn. They don't want to go to shul. Like, I wouldn't want to go to shul. So you give them money. It works. But
it's the pizza.
It works, but yet it's somehow... I'm just telling you my hergish.
Yeah.
I watch them. There's something missing. It's just... I don't know how to put it in words. You don't have a choice. This is gold. You have to do this. But it gets to a point sometimes. Why do you want to go to this program? Why don't we go to the next program? Because there they pay more money. Right? We'll pay more money next door. Why should we go here? It's just a matter of everything going to the highest bidder. Why should I go in this koilo? In this koilo, they give a bigger check. I get a bigger check. But don't you understand, this is the kollel you belong in. The one that pays less, this is where you belong, for various reasons. That's not where you belong. But they pay more money. I go wherever the money is. You're training a generation of people to seek, to use Torah as nothing more than a tool to make money, There's something authentic that is lacking. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, because we know there is no other alternative. There is no other choice. That's what it is. But there's room for improvement.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Rebbe told me he was in Camp Morris, and he had a bunk, and he was learning with them. And he said, if you all learn very well, we're going to do something real special. So they did. They learned very, very well. So he said, okay, we're going to go rowing. So one boy was very upset. He said, why? Why are you so upset? He said, because you're not spending money. You know, like rowing is.
Money. You have to have money.
In Avenue UJ, Rabbi Khan Shul, that is on Friday, if someone came for Shinai Mikrova Hotargum, they pay him yearly $100.
$100?
A year.
Yes. That's not so much.
When I finish elementary
school. For a year?
When I finish elementary school, we had the Rabbi Yeshua, Netan Elim, Menachotu, and Gan Eden. He was telling us, if you read Rashi, Baal Peh, every five lines, I give you 10 cents. You know? Okay. 1 month, I got $17. I read Rashi by heart.
Wow.
There was someone checking us, and if I'm mistaken, he know we have something from that. It's good. Competition.
Okay, it's good. You're right, it's good, but when, you know, on paper, a lot of things are good. When you see it in practice, sometimes it doesn't seem right. I'm there by Mitzvah Shabbos. I saw many a couple of programs. So some of them are better than others. But there was one program I saw. It was a pure business. It was scary. It was scary to me how these kids were talking, how what they were saying. This is not the way it's supposed to be. I'm sorry. This is not the way it was meant to be. Let's finish up. Let us finish up over here. The last 1, 2, 3, 5 lines from the bottom is Sarich Le'elvis Abari Avar Azav Rabba Arasha Yechel La'avos Ekedem Achel La'avos Isha. Okay, the litmus test, Rabbi Yisai, is if you love Hashem. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, the distractions here are really, really, really getting out of hand. Please.
You have to give out the power.
Money.
Even when I'm trying to say something serious.
The Shulva test is the same thing.
More signature, more chicken.
Enough. Well, it's cheap. The litmus test is, do you love Hashem as much as you love a woman? Okay, he doesn't mince words here. If this was written today, they would put the Sefer Necherem. Right? They put in Necherem the Sefer Necherem. But he says it the way it is. Okay, but who shoyger tamid, a man who's obsessed with a woman, he becomes crazy. The whole day thinks about her. When he gets up in the morning, when he sits down, when he's at work, when he gets up, it says so when he goes out, when he comes in, when he's eating, when he drinks, he does not stop because of his love for her. A man who is obsessed with a woman, everything he does, he thinks about her. Question, do you think about Hashem like that? Do you think about Hashem? Not anything near.
Is he talking about physical love for a woman or a neshama? You love the person?
No one loves the neshama. it's all the chitzainiyas. The hormones don't know from the ruchnis. Hormones only know from gashmis. So therefore he concludes, Yoisev Yoisev Mizeh Tehei Ahavas Habari B'Lev Oyavav V'Tamid Yishkuba. A person should love Hashem that much more. Hashem did everything for you. This woman has done nothing for you. Why do you love her so much? What has she done for you? Just cause you agnes nefesh. Hashem has done everything for you. He brought you into this world. No, I'm talking about before you marry her. I'm talking about because after you married, you don't see people going crazy around their wife. You see this in Chosn Kala, right? You see this in Chosn Kala. They're crazy, right? After what happens after Chosn Kala is over, they get married. They're married for a year or two. Okay, they're very good. You don't see people running home every second, this, that. Listen, I don't know. I can't speak. I don't really know. What could I tell you? But Yosef, Avas Abar B'Lev, I have a Tamil Yishkuba. A person should go crazy over Hashem. He should be obsessed with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. K'mo Shet Sivanu, like it says every single day, we say in Kriya Shema, B'chol Levavicha, B'chol Nafshcha, B'chol Medecha, V'zeh Shama Shlomah B'chachmasai. We'll have to wait for what he says tomorrow in the next handout. Okay, we'll take a short break, and then we're going to learn about